Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. And Jesus crossed over in the boat to the other side. There's a lot happening quickly in Mark's gospel. You remember last week, Jesus was in the boat and he was sleeping on the cushion and the storm came up and the disciples were afraid and they said, "Lord, don't you mind if we perish?" And he gets up, Jesus, from the sleep and he says, "Peace, be still." And the waters subsided and he said to his disciples, "You know, you still have such little faith." And when he reached the shore of the other side, he was in the place of the Gerasenes, and there was a crazy man there that lived among the tombs, and he was chained, but he broke the chains, and he came before Jesus, and he said, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God?" You know, and Jesus saw that the man was possessed by not only one demon, but a legion of demons, and Jesus exorcised and the demons. And they left and they went into the pigs. And if you want to know what happened to the pigs, read Mark's gospel. You'll learn more. And after this, he went back over the Sea of Galilee to the other side. And while he was back, and the crowd was still there waiting for him. They were crazy about him. They loved this guy. They waited while he healed the Gerasene demon. He waited while he stilled the storm. He waited till he came back. They waited. And we all know how hard waiting is. We like to have it like that, right? We like to have things done. Remember Joan and I, Lily Grant, in 2006, we went to the Vatican. 3 hours and 45 minutes, we waited in line in the heat. But the Vatican was just gorgeous. But we lost our son Mark. We found him in the Sistine Chapel, so we were happy about that. But it's a beautiful place. But waiting's not easy. Last week, Joan and her family, and we all had the death watch as we saw our brother-in-law, our brother, our loved, Gail's husband, slowly die. And that was not easy. It was not easy. And even when you know it's going to happen, you're still not ready. You're not really totally prepared. Waiting's not easy. In our gospel lesson, one man was waiting, but he was desperate, and he worked his way through the crowd, and he was the head of the synagogue. Notice this. Jesus heals an outcast, demonic, a Gerasene crazy man, and makes him whole, an outcast, and he reaches out to the head of the synagogue, a respected man. No barriers from Jesus. No barrier. He breaks down the barriers. Now reading today, Jairus had a daughter who was ill. Jairus was afraid. She was dying. He loved his daughter, and she pleaded with Jesus to come and touch her, put his hands on her. And he knew if he touched her, she would be well. It's interesting with Jesus. You know, back in the first century, there were other miracle workers, but they all, like Harry Potter or Gandalf in the fiction, but they all had wands. They all would stand at a distance. They never really touched the person because you never knew if you would become unclean. But that didn't stop Jesus. He touched her. He touched the people. Jesus agreed to go with Jairus, and the crowd followed him. And I like to think that this crowd was wonderful, more than even at a Taylor Swift concert. People were crazy about Jesus. They were following, just like we are here today. We got up to worship in this place, and we're part of that crowd that follows Jesus, that loves Jesus, that want to learn from Jesus, want to have a blessing from Jesus. And they went with him. And in this crowd, there was a woman who suffered from hemorrhages 12 years. She spent all of her money. She went to different doctors, and not only didn't she get better, she got worse. You know, don't some things don't change. Poor people, suffering people, hemorrhaging people get lost in the crowd, and sometimes we don't see them. They don't have any resources for cures. I was watching a program, and this doctor, Reverend Dr. Barber, who's a chaplain at Yale University, pointed out, which I didn't know, that in this country, 800 poor people die every day. Not because the resources aren't there, but they don't have the money to pay for it. And they die. You don't hear people talking about how we need to reach out to the poor and help the poor and have a poor people's march. You who are like me, who have survived cancer and other terrible diseases, know that how wonderful health insurance is. And this woman, she was desperate. But she had hemorrhage, so she was issuing blood, and so she was unclean. If you touched her, you'd be unclean. She was like a marginalized person, an untouchable. But she thought if she could sneak up and just touch Jesus without anybody knowing. And she did touch him, his clothes, just a fringe of his clothes. And she felt in her body healing. The hemorrhaging stopped. She was a new person. She was no longer an untouchable. She could be accepted by society. But she knew what she had done. And she was afraid that Jesus would find out. But he felt the power go from his body. And what did he do? He didn't say, "Why'd you touch me? You made me unclean." No, he embraced her with his words. "Daughter, daughter, you're healing. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Go in peace." He reaches out to a little girl. He reaches out to an older woman and calls them both his daughter. You know, he goes to the little girl and he says to her, science tells us, everybody tells us, she's dead. She's not breathing. Her heart stopped. Scientifically, she's dead. Does that stop Jesus? He's the power of God, and he has the power of life, and he's the power of healing, and he has the power of miracles, and he goes in there. Death does not stop him, and the people ridiculed him. "Well, you're crazy. You're some kind of Looney Tune. You're a new ager. What, you're crazy? I mean, you know, she's dead." That didn't stop Jesus. With the same authority that he stopped the storms and the wind at sea, he says to her, "Talitha, Talitha, kum." Little girl, get up. And she got up. And she was back to life. Give her something to eat. Give her something to eat. Love her. Love her. You know, I was talking to a doctor. And 70% of doctors, as they get deeper into healing and health and the mystery of the body and the miracle of the body, they believe in a higher power. They believe in, because you can set up all the things you can and the wonderful science we have today and the doctors we have today, but healing and health, it totally is a mystery. They believe in a higher power. The power of Jesus' touch in the woman who was hemorrhaging, she touched Jesus, and the young girl who died, he touched her, and she was alive again, and she was vibrant again, and she was a teenager again. And he works across the boundaries. Nothing stops Jesus with his love and his care and his hope and his healing and his amazing grace. You know, I was reading in San Diego, California, there's a park. It's called Friendship Park. And part of it's in Mexico and part of it's in the United States. And in 1970, Nancy Reagan went there and had a celebration, and they had a statue of friendship there. And there was like a chain link fence. So the people from Mexico could talk to relatives in America, and America could talk to the people through the chain link fence in Mexico. But 7 years ago, they put up this cement barrier. Now there's no communication. No communication. In our world, there are some people who like to put up barriers. And we're better than those people. And we're different from those people. And they're losers and we're winners. They like to put up these barriers. And other people want to bring them down. like the Berlin Wall and different places where people can be together. Jesus is always working to overcome barriers. He reaches out and touches people across incredible barriers. Nothing can stop the love of Christ in Jesus Christ. Nothing can stop his forgiveness. Nothing can stop his power. Oh, for a while, tyrants and criminals can seem to win. But in the end, truth and love always win. No matter how severe political divides are in this country, no matter how deep our grief may be over the death of a loved one, no matter how alone we might feel, no matter how afraid you might be of the future, the clear message of St. Mark in the gospel today is that Jesus is reaching out to touch you and are free to reach out to touch him through bath, through word, through song, through prayer, through word and the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ. Jesus is touching you again today. And by doing so, we are energized to join with him to become overcome barriers. You know what pontiff means? What the Pope is? Bridge builders. Bridge builders. The power of touch, the healing touch, the hug, the word of encouragement, the kiss, the thumbs up, the saying the name of the people that work behind the registers at Giant Eagle and mentioning thank you for your help. Jesus is reaching out through all of these dress gestures and more. Both Jairus and the hemorrhaging woman were desperate. They had tried everything else. They were facing death, the end, no hope. In spite of their personal differences, they found themselves with one option, and that option is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Faith in the power of Jesus and putting their trust in him and their lives in his hands made all the difference in the world. My brothers and sisters in Christ, there are still many barriers, many people putting up walls to separate and divide and calling those people terrible and we're the good guys. But Jesus, we see, barriers are always man-made, not God-made. And so, in the power of Jesus, they can be overcome. We can overcome in Christ. Pray that in Jesus' name, you and I, our congregation, the whole church, become barrier busters. We can overcome barriers by the touch, by the power, by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. And the peace of God that passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.